echoed me, but God in heaven heard my plea. Jesus, Jesus, rescued me. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, rescued me. I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven. Shout your praises out. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down. Now grace so sweet, it floods my soul. Hope eternal, I won't let go. My dead erased at Calvary. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven. Shout your praises loud. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down. Well, there's a hope beyond the sky. So we'll sing for all of time. The grave is empty. I am free. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. I will sing forever of your love. Come down with my hands to heaven. Shout your praises now. I was lost in darkness when you pulled me out. I will sing forever of your love. Come down. Oh, God, this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. Woke up with joy in my soul, cause I knew my Lord had control. Well, I knew I was walking in the light, cause I've been on my knees in the night. And I prayed till the Lord gave a sign, and now I'm feeling mighty fine. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. I've got heaven on my mind.
Good to see you.
Time, we're walking in time.
Thinking while I was sitting here, an old friend of mine, and I think David, a former preacher friend of ours that passed away a couple of years ago, his grandfather wrote that song, and that's one of the best hymns that we find in our hymn book. We've got the victory in Jesus, and so so glad to see you here this morning. Let me just mention for prayer, Melanie Ross has gone back into the hospital, and nothing critical, but back in there, she's just having some difficulties. They're trying to get straightened out, and then also, as I announced in Sunday school, I'll announce once again that there is a graveside funeral service for Mike Busby. That's going to be out of here at our cemetery here in town at 3 o'clock tomorrow. For those of you who knew Mike, obviously all of you know Debbie Oates, that's her brother, and so it'll be 3 o'clock tomorrow. We're not going to be feeding a meal to the family. It's not necessary. They didn't want it. But if you could attend, I think that'd be great. And then also Catherine Kruger over here made me aware. She lost her mom this week, and so we'll pray for you, Catherine, and there's nothing I can't even imagine. I still have my mom, but to lose a parent like that's difficult, so pray for her. And otherwise, welcome our visitors. Thank you for being with us, and we want you to sit back and enjoy yourself and let us love on you a little bit, and then you found yourself a home. You'll want to come back then, okay? All right, let's go to the Lord in the word of prayer, and then we'll get right back to the singing. Bobby Fulgham, will you lead us, please?
Thank you. May be seated.
Thank you.
forever so grateful that you came to this world, went to an old rugged cross, and paid for our sins. You tell us in the book of Romans that God hath commended his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You tell us in the book of John, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. You told us in the book of Romans that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, I think back to that day when I was just a young kid. The conviction of the Holy Spirit come upon me. And I knew that I was a sinner and that I needed a Savior. The greatest decision that I have ever made in my life was when I asked you to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and save me. And God, for all these many years, you've been my Heavenly Father. And anytime I needed forgiveness, I've been able to come to you and say, God, I've sinned. You've told us in your word that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, my prayer today is if there's one here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that you'd open their heart. God, I pray that you'd draw them unto your side today. I pray that you'd be with Brother Chris as he preaches to us. God, you've put a message upon his heart for just this very hour. God, I pray that you'd speak through him and use him in a mighty way today. God, we love you. We sure do thank you for all that you've done for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
It's so good. I almost can't believe it. Far beyond what hearts could ever dream. The galaxy in motion would descend to give his life for me. For what could make perfection bleed for sinners? What leads a king to pay so great a cost? Oh, my life, my heart will see. scratch the surface of your wound. And all my life, the banner of you waving. My anthem cry, no matter what may come. And when I rise to walk the streets of heaven, still be singing this song for everything that you've done. How great the love of God! Singing, oh, how great is the love of God! He paid our debt on that rock.
Once again, Father, we thank you for allowing us a privilege to be together in your house this morning and have a time of worship. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you'll be with those that mentioned. Lord, I failed to mention Rex Prather. Lord, I pray that you'll be with him and help him to get healed up as well. And Lord, we pray for Catherine and the loss of her mother and Busby family. Pray that you'll encourage them. But Father, for just the next few minutes, we want to just get settled in, Lord, and we want to hear from you. We want your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and teach us. We've already had a great Sunday school hour, and you blessed there, and we thank you for that. I ask, Father, that you'll help me to have clear thinking and clear speech, Lord, to be able to pass this message on to your people. And Lord, we do ask that you'll be with our country and be with our men and women who are serving our country. And Lord, we know there's so much unrest, and there's just a mess over in the Middle East, Lord. We pray for Israel. We pray for peace in Jerusalem. We pray, Lord God, that you'll protect the innocent and the vulnerable. We pray, God, your will would be done in all of this. Father, we pray for our leaders, Lord, each one, whether it be local, state, or our government leaders, Lord, that they would make good decisions, ones that are in best interest, not just of our nation, but if it's in decisions that are in line with your will. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you'll bring us some rain. Lord, we need it. And I know you'll bring it in time, but we seek you now for it. We ask that you'll bless our country and allow us, Lord, to have the moisture for these farmers to plant this spring and to grow some grass for the cattle and this sort of thing. Lord, we just trust that you're going to bring it. We ask you for it now. Once again, Father, we thank you for the time of prayer you've given us, the time of singing songs and lifting up our voices to you, in a time of worship. And now we pray your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles over to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14, I failed to mention that Rex Prather fell this last week and broke a couple of ribs. And so he and Brenda were not here this morning, but pray for him that he'll get healed up. I know what that's like to have broken ribs. It's no fun at all. All right, Proverbs chapter 14. We're about 4 minutes till 11 this morning, and you've already made a great many choices this morning. Without even having to think about it, you've made a lot of choices, mostly minor choices, but at least one or two of them major choices. And some of those choices have affected you immediately. You chose to get out of bed this morning. You chose to brush your teeth. You chose to get dressed, have breakfast. All of those things affect you immediately. Getting out of bed makes it where you're no longer asleep. That's affected you. Brushing your teeth makes you a little easier to be around, okay? Getting dressed makes you where you're a little more acceptable for public viewing, okay? You've just made some decisions. Eating breakfast made your stomach be full and your tummy stop groaning and it's going to nourish your body. And all of those choices made a minor difference in your life this morning. Not major, but a small difference. But then there are some significant choices, perhaps, that you've made this morning. The fact that you're in here, sitting in here within the sound of my voice this morning, means that you chose to go to God's house. That's a good choice. That's a really good choice. And it may not seem like a major choice, but considering that if you take what you learned this morning and you apply it to your life, if God's spoken to your heart, you take that and you incorporate that into your future, then it has really been a significant choice that you made, a major choice to be here this morning. If you're a parent and you brought your children to church, which is a very good thing, that decision could have a great deal of bearing on their life going forward. And that makes it a pretty important decision. The things of God are eternal, and they reach beyond the immediate and all the way into forever. And so anything we do, investing in the things of God, makes it a major choice. The truth of the matter is, our lives are where they are today because of choices mostly. Not exclusively, but mostly because of choices. Yes, there are things that are in our life that are totally out of our control, that have a big impact on us. In fact, the family you were born in, that had a major impact on your life. You had nothing to do with it. The kind of home you were raised in, that was thrust upon us. Your education and training has influenced us. Most of these things like that are received involuntarily, okay? But there may also be some other things involuntary that we didn't ask for. Crises that happen in our life. Difficult events that we weren't looking for. They just came upon us. No one would choose to have cancer, but some have cancer. No one would choose to have a tragic accident, but that happens to some people. No one would choose to be abandoned by their parents or have a spouse walk out on them or to be abused as a child, but those things happen. No one would make a choice to wake up in a war-torn country, but many have. Many have. So any number of possible crises could come in our life, and you fill in the blank there, but those things can happen to anyone without us having made any choice whatsoever. But still, in spite of that, choices matter because we have to choose how we're going to deal with what life has given us. The outcome of what life has given us, whether it be a crisis or any kind of difficult event, the outcome of it could be better or worse depending upon how we handle that situation. We can choose to handle it as best we can, or we can choose to handle it in the wrong way. A poor response is a poor choice and will bring about poor results. A positive response is a wise response and will bring about the best possible results. So choice matters. And that's going to be our subject this morning, is talking about choices. Maybe I can show you a few things that'll make your life better going forward if you choose to apply them. But I want you to keep in mind that the truths that we learned this morning are not my truths. They're truths that come from God's Word. I just happen to be the one that's passing them on to you. So don't say, Brother Chris taught me this. Say, God taught me this in His Word. So we're in Proverbs chapter 14. One simple verse here in verse 12. It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That verse teaches us a principle that's very, very important and needs to be clearly understood if we're going to make good choices. There are natural impulses and tendencies and desires that you and I are urged from within to act upon. But if we do, there are going to be consequences that are not good. There are desires that you and I have and impulses that we have that if we carry those out, it's not going to be good choices. The ends thereof, the scripture says, are death. Death is negative, is it not? The end is very negative. So this verse tells us that just because it sounds good, just because it's inviting or seems right for the moment, doesn't mean it's okay. For a man, as he, let me read it. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The ways you and I, that perhaps come naturally to us, are not always good. Think about it. What seems right to an angry man might lead to violence. I've discovered that there are some sayings in our culture that when you look at them under the microscope, they're really kind of they're really kind of foolish. They're poor advice. Like this: just do what feels right. Now, folks, that's not good advice. That's not good advice, because if I did that, there would be a trail of dumb people with bloody noses. You can't just go with what feels right. Here's one: the sky is the limit. Whoever came up with that saying has never been bucked off of a horse, because the ground is the limit, okay? Just be yourself. And that sounds really good, and I could do that, but that's probably not what you want, right? Live every day like it's your last. So you really want me to stay at home in bed with my wife every day? You can't follow those sayings. They're foolishness. The truth of the matter is found in our text. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So understand right now, how we feel, how we think, what we desire cannot dictate our choices. If we made choices this morning based upon our feelings, many of us would still be at home in bed. You can't do what you feel like doing. Our choices need to be based upon God's word and what's best for those around us and what's best for ourselves and what is important to God. So I want to talk to you just today, and then my plan is for at least next Sunday, and then what happens after that, I don't know. But about choices. And I want to zero in on some important choices. Today, we're just going to look at one. And they might not be what you think they're going to be. You might think, well, he's going to talk about choosing to work hard and choosing to be kind and choosing to go to church and things like that. And no doubt, those things are very important. But I want to get a little deeper than that. I want to discuss things that are going to, choices that will mold who we are on the inside, because who we are on the inside, if it's healthy, then it'll be healthy who we are on the outside. So I'm only going to give you one today, and it's this: we must choose love. Now, that may bring to mind your mind something like that you would see hanging on the wall in mom's house. Choose love, you know. You see those little signs that grandma has, this house is built on laughter, love, and profanity. No, I'm just kidding. Laughter, love, and something else, I don't know. Live, love, laugh. You see these things maybe on a bumper sticker. It's not like that. The choice that I'm talking about, choosing love, is something. It's probably going to, it's one of the most impactful choices that we make in our life outside of choosing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we begin to understand God's love for us, it's going to settle many issues in our life that otherwise might remain distorted. First John chapter 3 and verse 1 says this, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Now that word sons in the Greek is also rendered offspring, so obviously it includes men, women, girls, or boys, that we should become the offspring of God. What is it that makes us an offspring of God? Our choosing by faith to trust in the personal work of Jesus Christ, that introduced us to the Father, it put us in the family of God, and made us children of God, and therefore His offspring. Now, that makes us the objects of His unconditional love. John 1:12 says this, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." That's pretty straightforward there. When we call upon the Lord Jesus, it makes us a child of God. We're His offspring. We're the object of His unconditional love. But I would be remiss if I didn't make this other point very clear. If you've never put your faith in the Son of God, you've never accepted Jesus, you've never trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, you are not, and I repeat, you are not the object of the Father's love. Does God love you? Sure. He loves you in the sense that He loves this world, that He loves mankind. David quoted it in his prayer, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." That love for mankind in a general, universal sense, that's yours. God loves you in that sense. But you're missing out on fatherly love if you've never accepted Jesus. You're missing out on a love that is eternal and life-changing. So I urge you this morning to consider, you need Jesus. Amen. First thing, you need to be saved. You need to have your sins forgiven. But once we become Christians, we become recipients of the Father's love. It's there. Nothing can change it. It can never go away. We have it. But here's what happens to many people. And this is why we need to choose love. Here's what happens. Many people fail to understand that love and accept that love. They're not able to recognize it. They don't know God loves them. They don't feel like God loves them. And if that's the case for a person, it leaves room for a lot of problems. Insecurity, sadness, disappointment, overall defeat in our life. When we don't feel loved by God, we'll never reach our full potential at being servants of the Lord. You have to choose to understand God's love for you. First of all, if we don't know His love for us and don't understand it, we'll never have the confidence to get out in this world and be a shining light for Him. And be a voice for God in this wilderness of a world. We won't do it because of our insecurities. Our insecurities, our feelings of inadequacy will paralyze us and keep us disabled as servants of the Lord. God loves you, friend. You need to know that. If you're a Christian, He loves you with a fatherly love and a parental love and a eternal love and a heavenly love and a powerful love. The most powerful love that there is comes from God. So how your body is shaped doesn't affect how God loves you. How well you did in school or what your IQ is doesn't affect how much God loves you. Whether you have a high-paying job or not doesn't affect it. No matter how popular you are or were in school, that doesn't matter to God whatsoever. He loves you. He doesn't care what kind of house you live in or what you drive or whether you're blue collar or white collar. And get this, He loves you also in spite of your past. Because through Christ, that's been forgiven and taken out of the equation. But all of these things I just mentioned can be hang-ups in our life. It may surprise you, but I'm familiar with many of those things. It may be something very simple from your childhood that makes you feel like you don't measure up, that you're just not worthy of God's love, and that's so wrong. I fell into some of those categories for a long time as a young person, that things that were in my life as a young person made me feel less than in the world. And I struggled with them for some time. But when I met Jesus and I gave him the opportunity to overhaul my life and I gave him the opportunity to lead me with his word, one by one, we began to settle those issues. And step by step, I began to understand God's love for me. Folks, when I got a hold of grace finally, and I was saved, but I was like 3 years into it before I really, really began to understand grace. And when I got a hold of that one concept, it changed my life. It's by grace that we're saved. It's by grace that we become the children of God. We can't earn it. And the more you get swallowed up in that and God's love for you and the fact that it doesn't matter anything about your life from an earthly standpoint cannot affect that love. He loves you eternally with a Father's love. And when we get a hold of that, the greater our capacity to serve. We shouldn't let the victories that we have in life, and we have a lot of victories, we shouldn't let them ever become something that makes us overconfident or arrogant or anything like that, because that's not healthy. But God does want us to have a sense of confidence and a sense of security and a courage that will mobilize us spiritually. Something that will give us the liberty to begin to act for God's kingdom. There are people within the sound of my voice that are totally immobile spiritually because they have poor self-image, they've got an identity crisis, low self-esteem, anxiety, whatever. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe there's a person that's overweight, and you've struggled with that your whole life, and that's something, most of it, in a lot of people's cases, is genetic. You had nothing to do with it, and then maybe there's some things you do have to do with it, but whatever it is, you've struggled with that, and it's caused you to feel less than. It's caused you to feel like you don't want to be the center of attention. You don't want people looking at you, and it's paralyzed you spiritually. Well, you need to know this. God loves every pound of you. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to put every pound to work for his kingdom. Every one of them. Now, from a health standpoint, we should always be conscientious, and as it relates to weight and this sort of thing, that's important. But it doesn't affect how much God loves you. He loves you completely. He wants you to take your body, whatever size it is, and boldly go into this world and work for his kingdom. But you can't do it until you get a hold of his love for you. You'll be held back by your insecurities until you learn that God loves you eternally, unconditionally, because you're his child. Does anybody ever stop loving their child? I don't think so. If they do, they're horrible people. Well, God's infinitely greater father than we are parents. He'll never stop loving you. Maybe you're that person that as a kid, you were an outcast. You were the last one chosen for the team on the playground. You're the one that never went to the prom because you never had a date. And other things like that affect us in our early life have caused us. Perhaps you have low self-esteem, or you think lowly of yourself. You feel like you don't measure up. I want to tell you something. God says you measure up. Now, without Jesus, you don't measure up. None of us did. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And David you're quoting all my scriptures in your prayer, buddy. David quoted Romans 5:8. He says, for God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Give me another one, David. The Bible says, because we know Jesus, Romans 8:37 says, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. You measure up. You measure up in God's eyes. You're chosen by God. You're accepted in the beloved, as it says in Ephesians 1. You're washed in the blood. You're destined for heaven. You're a child of the King. How's that for measuring up? You measure up. You have been picked for God's team, and it's a winning team, and it stands undefeated. It has the longest, greatest winning streak in history, even greater than Donald Trump's. Donald Trump say, I'm a winner, and I've always been a winner, and nobody's ever won before me, and nobody has won as great as I am, possibly the greatest winner in the world, and all of this. Well, you're greater than Donald Trump because you're on God's team. So go to work for God. Go to work for His kingdom. Choose to believe and accept His love for you and His acceptance of you. And put it to work. Amen. Choose love. Choose God's love for you. But there's another element of choosing love. It's choosing to love others. The choosing, probably, again, second only to us choosing the Lord Jesus Christ to save our soul, the choosing to live a life of love towards others is one of the most important choices that we can make. 1 John 4:7 says this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8 of that chapter says, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. It goes on down to verse 11. He says, If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. 1 John goes on and on with statements like that about love. This world is filled with hatred and anger and strife. And being a child of God, there is absolutely zero room for that in our lives. No room for it. The surest indicator that we belong to Jesus, the surest sign to this world that we belong to Jesus, is that we have a love for those around us. You know where the best place to start is? We just talked about people in life who struggle, people that have a hard time with acceptance or adequacy or measuring up or feeling loved. That tells us that as Christians, we have plenty of places where we can show our love. We got a lot of work to do. If you want to serve the Lord in a way that can make a greater difference than perhaps a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or a missionary or evangelist, then just start pouring yourself into the lives of individuals and showing love to them. People that are underdogs, people that are perhaps overlooked by this world, people that are outcast, rejected, defeated, they're unloved. You start to pick them out and make them a target of your love. We can't impress God, but if there's ever one thing that might impress God, that'd be it. If you've never been there, you've never been that person, you've never been overlooked in life, and maybe you haven't, and that's good. But you don't know what a little bit of love from somebody would do for you. One interaction, one expression of concern, one comment, one just giving just a few minutes of our time to that person might impact their life in ways that you'll never dream. When I was a kid, I didn't know what it was like to be a part of a functional family. I was very familiar with a carnival-like situation, okay? I saw all the freak shows. But a mom and a dad pulled together, attending the events of their children at school, no one drunk, no one cussing, no one fighting, that was very attractive to me. And not having that in my life and wanting that so desperately made me feel less than. It made me feel like I didn't have what other kids had. I didn't, I'm not trying to have a pity party because my life is great. But for whatever reason, I struggled with that because I'd see it with my contemporaries, my classmates and stuff. But when I was in junior high and high school, I had a lot of friends. It was not that I was not an outcast as a student or a kid, but I didn't have those things at home. And so when we got in junior high and high school, some of my friends, we got to that age that we started doing things outside of school, going to each other's house, or I never brought anybody to my house, I promise you, but I went to theirs. And it gave me exposure to that family setting in many of those situations. And it allowed me to get around those parents that I had seen for so long with those kids. And when, here's my point. When those parents begin to know me by name, just to know my name made a difference in my life. Isn't that weird? As a kid, to have an adult pull together parent know what my name was made an impact upon me, let alone if they begin to have any interest in my life. I'm telling you, that's the truth. Just one interaction, one casual, what seems like inconsequential time of just showing interest to somebody, just showing them that you know who they are, that you see them, can make a difference in their life in a way that you wouldn't understand probably. And it makes that person feel important, make that person feel like they're someone, make them feel like they're not invisible, make them feel recognized. Every human is in search of significance. Now, some find it very easily because it's handed to them by life. Life has given them significance just naturally, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not a bad thing. But there are many others that just want to be loved. They just want to feel like they're important. They just want to feel like they're not all alone in this world. And if you and I would take time and listen to them, and here's the deal. Every one of us are qualified for that. You don't have to have a degree in psychology or sociology or anything like that. You don't have to be a counselor. You are qualified to invest in people's life and show love to them. In fact, you have, and I have, the responsibility to do so. But here's something we need to know. If that one act of kindness, that one interaction, that one moment of concern can impact them so greatly, what do you think would happen if you followed up? You made that person your friend. It wasn't just a one-time deal. You made that person somebody you text or called on or stopped and saw or tried to get to church. You made that friend understand that you're a brother or a sister. Whether they're a Christian or not, you can make them feel like a brother and sister in Christ and try to bring them to Christ. 1 John 4:21 says this, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." There are a lot of other areas that we could discuss about choosing to love in this world. But I think you get the picture. Here's one that I won't spend any time on. But when it comes to social issues, societal issues, politics, government, and all of those, there's no room for hate. There's no room for ugly in our Christian lives. That's the fact, okay? You may not like that, but that's a fact. There's no room for nothing but love, even in those issues, okay? Doesn't mean we turn a blind eye to things that are bad. That's not it. But we are bound as Christians and children of God to function and operate out of love in all of those situations and issues. Let me leave you with this challenge. As children of God, we must choose love. Know this. God loves you with a fatherly love no matter what. You don't have to impress him, and you can't impress him, by the way. None of us can. But he loves you anyway. Get that in your head. If you walked in here this morning feeling insecure, feeling inadequate, feeling like you don't measure up, feeling like you're invisible, you ought to walk out these doors today. If you've called upon Jesus and you're a child of God, you ought to walk out this door today saying, I am loved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I'm going to start living like I'm loved by Him. I am going to mobilize myself spiritually, and I can get out and I can be minister to people just as well as that guy that's standing behind the pulpit or anybody else. The deficit is not in God's love for us, but it's in our ability to accept that love. I'm going to ask you to stand. I want everybody that is a child of God this morning to march out these doors with a confidence that allows them to serve Jesus. But also I want any person who've never accepted Jesus to come to know Him today so you can walk out the doors in the same way. God loves you in a general, universal sense. Yes, God so loved the world. But you're not a recipient. You're not the object of His fatherly love until you know Jesus. Heads are bowed. Nobody's going to be looking around. We'll have a moment of invitation. If you'd like, you come.